Donna, Derek Jeter is on the cover of the new GQ. And I saw you're on the cover of the new Playboy.
I think that I'm better looking than Jeter, any way you look at it.
For a lifetime 235 hitter, I've had one hell of a life.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, where we've witnessed some pretty crappy baseball over the last week since our last recording. The Yankees have won precisely one game, and that was a Masahiro Tanaka start. And Masahiro Tanaka will be starting later today. So, yeah, that's about the state of the Yankees right now. They can't win except for when Masahiro Tanaka pitches. So I'm Andrew Mearns. With me are Matt Provenzano and Matt Ferencik. How are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Aside from your internet.
Well, yeah, that's a problem right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we were starting and going, trying to get this podcast recording for like half an hour, but Matt F's internet just wasn't having it because it doesn't want us to talk about how badly the Yankees are doing, I assume.
Yep.
Well,
it's funny. Last we were sort of mentioning how all the games were sort of blending together. Mm-hmm. I feel like the same this week, except they're all losses instead of like the over 500 they were playing last
week. Yeah,
they
were winning the games against the White Sox and the Cardinals, and then the Twins of all teams just sent them into a tailspin, which is just awful.
Yeah.
Especially against Phil Hughes.
Yeah, yeah. That game was miserable.
And Nunez.
Nunez
twice.
Was it Claiborne that gave up the big hit to Nunez? Or Daly? After Robertson blew the save?
I don't know. I missed Friday's game.
This was Sunday's game.
I think on Sunday when Nunez got his hit, their Twins were already leading, but that made it like 5-2.
Yeah, they were already winning 4-2, and then Nunez hit a 2-run double, and then it was 6-2 or something.
That
just kind of put it away.
I don't know if you saw in the play, but his helmet went flying to no surprise.
Yep. So, Yankees lost 2-3 to the Twins, with the series loss coming in crushing fashion when David Robertson blew the save, and then they dropped the makeup game to the Mariners on Monday because King Felixed, and actually, that technically completed a sweep for the Mariners from, like, April or whenever. And they've, against the best team in baseball, the A's, they've dropped two games in a row. And I think they've had leads in both of them. But
yep.
No dice, because pitching wearing down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, especially the bullpen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the crushing David Robertson blown save on Sunday, and some people were calling for D-Rob to lose his closer's position, which is just too short-sighted.
Really?
And then, as if to prompt these people that, you know, Dylan Betances isn't going to pitch this outstanding forever, he was the one that ended up giving up the lead on Tuesday night's game, when he gave up the walk and the big double to let the game tie, and, you know, just add sugar on top, the only other reliable recent reliever, Adam Warren, was the one who gave up the go-ahead runs in the, it was the 10th inning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no reliever is really immortal, so just keep going with David Robertson, because he's been doing this for a while, and he's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason to
give up on D-Rob right now. Yeah, he's been one of the best relievers in baseball for the past 5 years. He's been the second best reliever on the Yankees while Moe's here. No reason why you can stick with him.
As tempting as it is to sign Tracy McGrady from the Sugar Land Skeeters and make him closer.
Him of the 14, Watts for 9.
Not bad at all.
You could take Wade LeBlanc's spot on the roster.
Oh, yeah, we should talk a little bit about the bullpen overhaul that's gone on over the past few days, partially due to, you know, all this work that they've had to do recently because starting pitching, other than Tanaka, hasn't really been giving length. And so whenever Betances or Warren can't pitch, because they can't pitch every single inning, then we've been introduced to the... Well, not introduced. We've resumed the Preston Claiborne and Alfredo Aceves experience, and it is not pretty. So the Yankees decided to swap him out after Tuesday night's game. They cut Aceves entirely, and they sent Claiborne down to the minors. And in their place, they called up Jose Ramirez, making his major league debut. Good prospect. His first time in the bullpen. But he had been pitching well in AAA, so, you know, no fault in calling him up. That's not a problem at all. But the problem is that the guy they called up, or called the guy they claimed off waivers to essentially replace Aceves is not really much better, and that's Wade LeBlanc. And he does not have a good track record at all, and it literally seems like they just brought him up because he has a pulse and throws left-handed. Not that he's any good.
Yep.
Yeah, he's horrible. He's just horrible. And he's been hard. It's not even like he's had one or two okay seasons with the Marlins. One with the Marlins and one with the Padres. In relief. And that was in 2012 and 2011. But other than that, he's been either at replacement level or below it. So I don't know really what they expected from him.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Angels had a good bullpen anyway, and they cut him, basically. So he wasn't good enough for the Angels. What's the point of even bringing him to the Yankees? I mean, if you're going... They had to, like, put him on the 40-man roster just to get him to pitch. So, if you're going to do that, why don't you just call up one of the AAA relievers who's doing decently, even if some of them walk a decent amount, batters to nine or whatever. But at least guys like Mark Montgomery, Pat Van Ditti, Danny Barawa offer something. Wade LeBlanc has proven crap.
I mean, I don't know if it really has to do with service time manipulation in terms of Montgomery, because if Montgomery stays... He could become a super two, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be, but I mean.
That's what because that's what they did do with Phelps, and Phelps is now going to qualify for a super two.
Yeah, well,
I don't really think that.
I guess I could understand not calling out Montgomery because he walks everyone, but maybe a Barawa or even Venditti has been pitching well, and I don't really have many expectations from Venditti at all, but he's pitching well, and he would at least. Be something that's interesting, not Wade LeBlanc.
Yeah. Wade LeBlanc is going to be an excellent Sporkle answer.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm trying my best to just forget he's even on the team, so...
Yeah.
It's not even like Jim Miller last year, where it was just, like, amusing, because the Yankees were already kind of, like, out of it by then, but... Now it's just like, you're terrible. Why are you...
Or the time Zagurski pitched in Fenway.
Mike Zagurski. True Yankee.
I believe that was the A-Rod game, too. Or no, never mind. Yankees won that one.
No. This is one of the big blowouts.
So it was one after that, I think, where they got destroyed. Yeah. And they sent Zagurski.
The only reason Zagurski...
Yep.
And the problem is that, you know, I mean, we're ragging on LeBlanc right now. But he's like the long man. The guys that are supposed to come in when Dellen and Warren need a break, like Matt Daly and Matt Thornton, aren't really doing their jobs.
Yeah.
So what do you have to say on behalf of all Matts?
I say I'm sorry.
The weird thing is that, like,
yeah,
if you look at Thornton's season numbers, he's not pitching terribly, but maybe he's just in a bad streak or something.
Yes, because, you know, especially the Lugi, the sample size are so small.
Yeah.
You're only dealing with 11 innings, so in that period, it's because his FIP is like a whole point lower than his ERA, so it could just partially be luck. Because that's often what happens with a Lugi pitcher.
Yeah, and I have more faith in Thornton turning around than most, but I really don't have anything in Matt Daly. Yeah. He is a trivia answer to who relieved Mariano Rivera. That's about it. And my grandmother's alumni magazine wrote a nice article about him because they both went to Bucknell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also produced Christy Mathewson, but Matt Daly is not quite on that level, I don't think.
No, not yet. Maybe if when he reaches his potential.
These are the hot takes you get on the Pinstripe Alley podcast. Matt Daly is not Christy Mathewson.
BDF true. But I feel
sorry,
like,
go ahead.
I feel like there's like a week there where I didn't feel totally uncomfortable with Daly.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next time he went out there, it's like, okay, no, he's crap.
Yeah, and he didn't pitch badly in September. I think he actually didn't allow any runs. And then in spring training, he was all right.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, maybe he could do something, because he was a useful reliever for Colorado when he was healthy before he got hurt. But
yep.
He just hasn't looked good at all. And obviously, he was DFA'd around the same time that Cesar Cabral was. Or maybe he was just sent down.
Yeah.
I think he was just sent down, but
I think it was just an option.
I think he pitched in the 16 to Dean Anna game.
Never forget. And now we're starting to see the effects of, you know, how the other pitchers in the starting rotation aren't pulling their own weight, and so that's causing Dellin and Warren to be overused a little bit. And when Dellin and Warren are overused, then they can't pitch as much, and then you get games like this where it's imminently winnable, games like this, meaning Wednesday night's game, Ellsbury hit the 3-run home run, Yankees were up 4-1, but Vidal Nuno is only able to give them 4 2/3 innings, so they had to go to the bullpen quite early, and it never even got close to getting to David Robertson.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is between Whitley, Nuno, and Phelps, you can never get through the sixth.
Yeah, and Whitley at least pitches well, but then again, you end up in the situations where, well, it was like on Sunday when Whitley started, he pitched fine for 5 innings.
Yep.
Then they had to do Dellin for 2, Warren for 1, and then David Robertson. Pretty much, you have to win those games where you're using your best guns, but unfortunately, even the best relievers have bad games every now and then, and David Robertson had a stinker. And then you had a similar thing on Tuesday night when Kuroda pitched well, his first good start in a while, and Dellin couldn't hold it. Then Robertson pitched a good ninth inning, sent it to extras, but then Warren couldn't hold it. So, bullpen venting. Ugh. I mean, few teams have reliable middle relievers. It's just,
In general.
It just hurts my brain. The 2001 Yankees won the pennant with, like, Jay Witosik and Mark Wohlers mopping up. And a prepubescent Randy Choate. Well, as disappointing as the game was on Wednesday night, the worst news was not the game. It was that the Yankees lost Don Zimmer, who passed away at age 83. Shortly after having heart surgery. I think he had heart surgery last week. And I'm not sure if they've announced anything about what he died of. I'm sure it might have had to do with just recovery from that. But either way, just a very sad day in the Yankees universe. He's probably the first, unless you're really attached to Hideki Arabu, the first person from the late 90s franchise to pass away. And yeah, it's a very weird feeling. I mean, Zimmer was old, but he was just such a beloved member of that group. It just kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it does.
It was always fun watching Jeter rub his head, watching Zimmer interact with pretty much anyone.
I was going to say, the two things that stand out are that and, of course, the Pedro Martinez.
Oh, man.
Kerfuffle.
Yeah. That was a weird moment for Zimmer, and afterwards he felt awful, but, you know, it was just
a weird moment for baseball.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my god, this bench coach who's like 73 or whatever is charging one of the best pitchers in the game. And like, I know like a ton of people were just like ragging on Pedro afterwards, but like, I don't know what he was supposed to do. I mean, you got someone charging at you and you can't like, you don't want to like throw fisticuffs at a 73-year-old guy. So what do you do? You just kind of grab his head and twist. I don't even know.
Yeah, that was probably the weirdest moment I've ever watched on TV. Yeah,
Yankees Red Sox has had a whole bunch of weird crap, but that was probably the most surreal thing I've ever seen in Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah,
that was up there with anything I can remember.
Yeah, there was that. There was the Veritek fight. There was the Bronson Arroyo ball getting knocked out of the glove. Those are probably the biggest ones.
Yeah. Yeah. But Zimmer, he always seemed to, like, know the right thing to say to people in the clubhouse. Like, I know Paul O'Neill would just, you know, rage on about, like, grounding out or whatever. And Zimmer was always just incredibly amused by, like, him knocking over water coolers. And I think Zimmer said one time, he was just, like, laughing, and O'Neill's like, "What's so funny?" And he's like, "You."
Yeah, that's pretty perfect. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was funny how he just did not stand for Steinbrenner, like, for, like, speaking out against the team. He's just like, "Stop being an ass."
Yeah, definitely well-respected in the clubhouse. Well-respected pretty much amongst everybody. I don't really know anyone who has said boo about him.
Girardi was definitely emotional in the post-game, and you could tell just in the mood of the broadcast booth, like Michael Kay, John Flaherty, Al Leiter, they all seemed pretty deflated afterwards. I heard that Rick Sutcliffe, who Zimmer managed when he was on the Cubs, was not doing too well either. It's sort of like the ripple effect of spending, I think it was like 66 years in the game or something crazy like that.
Yep.
One of the last people that played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he's sort of like a link to a lost generation.
Definitely.
I haven't heard any of the comments.
Well, when I first saw the news pop up on Twitter, the few Cubs fans I follow, even they were, like, really broken up about it, which I think that just shows you how beloved a figure he was.
Yeah. they don't get many division winners, so remember the manager.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the post-game quotes now, and it says that Girardi said that he was, like, a mentor to him, and he had him 10 out of his first 11 years in the big leagues. I actually didn't really realize this, but that makes a lot of sense because Girardi came up with the Cubs, and then he, so Zimmer was his manager then, and then after Zimmer went to the Rockies, I think then that was around when Joe Girardi ended up on the Rockies. And one of the big reasons, they were saying on the broadcast, and I've heard this before, that one of the big reasons Girardi ended up on the Yankees in the first place is because after Zimmer was hired as bench coach, he really made a push for them to acquire Girardi.
Yeah, I mean, think about how much that could have changed things.
Yeah.
Would Girardi be the Yankees manager even then?
Who even knows? Or who even would have been catcher in 1996? I mean, I guess it would have just been Jim Leyritz. They didn't want to re-sign Mike Stanley. So, but maybe Jorge Posada would have come up sooner, but I don't know. It's weird to think about, like, how much things could have changed.
Yeah.
Of course, Bud Selig talks about when Don Zimmer was on the 62 Mets in his statement. What a weirdo.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I don't understand him. Well, I think it's clear that we're all going to miss Don Zimmer. He was a really fun guy.
Yeah.
Even when he was puttering around in Rays uniform during spring training and whatever. It's always amusing to see him. I shouldn't say always amusing. Always fun to see him.
Well, speaking of the Rays thing, Timothy Burt from Deadspin tweeted that the biggest ovation on Rays opening day for a while there was Don Zimmer.
Yeah, that's true. Because for a while they were still the Devil Rays, there wasn't a whole lot to cheer about. Yep. It's like, hey, Don Zimmer, yeah.
I mean, it made sense to me.
Then they had to spoil it by becoming
a cheer for on that team.
I think the Rays should should honor him by channeling those days, finishing in last place.
Bring back Randy Wynn.
Yes. Yeah, Aubrey Huff.
Rocco Baldelli.
Bring Lou Piniella out of retirement to manage.
Throw some bases across the field.
Yeah. At least
dye his hair.
At least the Rays are kind of collapsing on themselves. So, and no one else in the AL East is really doing much of anything except for the Blue Jays. So, fortunately, the Yankees' four-game losing streak doesn't really have too many consequences as of now. The Red Sox have gone back to losing after winning 7 in a row. Rays have lost 9 in a row. That is.
I believe they're the second worst record in baseball next to the Cubs.
Yes. Truly shining moments for that organization. I wonder if they still continue to employ Josh Lukey. They probably do.
Yeah. They had a release with Bell.
They are 2 games worse than the Astros.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, that is... Yeah. We're getting a little bit off track, but... One thing we should talk about, the injuries that are going on, or rather the rehab from injuries. Looks like we'll finally get Carlos Beltran back in the Yankees lineup on Thursday for the Tanaka start, which will be nice since the lineup badly needs some sort of infusion of life, because other than a few select players, they're not really getting much at all right now, and Beltran, if he's healthy, will be a big power bat to bring back into the lineup.
Yeah, it will be nice if he's healthy. Yeah. I'm still trying to worry about
the
elbow.
It's a big if.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what the track record is with a bone spur. Like, what the odds are of re-aggravating that, because it just sounds like something that doesn't, it's just going to go away. It could be like the sharer's wrist where it pops up and he has to take a couple of days off here and there.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't sound incredibly encouraging, even if he's playing. At least he's not. At least he doesn't have a good surgery, though, because at least he's on the roster. But I guess that if he's going to be less of a factor and DeShero's going to be out part-time with his wrist, I would assume, I think we talked about this last week, that the Yankees would most likely pursue Kendrys Morales.
Yeah, I could see them pursuing him.
Especially with the draft coming up. With Teixeira kind of hurt, Beltran kind of hurt, Soriano not hitting at all, no backup first baseman. It's kind of a no-brainer.
What do you mean? Kelly Johnson is a picking machine.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I definitely wouldn't be against them signing Kendrys Morales. You know, good hits and dingers. I like dingers. And
Yankees could use those.
It's a little weird because Beltran's kind of restricted to DH duty. I think they've said that he'll be restricted to DH duty right now, but I don't know. I think you try to find a way to make it work because I think at this point, Teixeira and Beltran are far from guarantees to stay on the field. So I guess you get a feel for what Morales is looking for and what other teams are offering. I'm sure the Rangers are going to be in on him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Maybe the Brewers, maybe Pirates, too, I've heard. I don't know, but I'm sure his market might be a little bit better now than it was then.
Yeah, it seems getting a little bit more desperate.
Especially with the draft right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at this point, we just can't really assume health, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it really just depends on how much he's asking for, whether it's fair market value.
Yeah. Well... Sean Kelly and CC Sabathia both threw off mound today, I believe, or off flat ground.
Yeah.
They threw somewhere. Was it flat ground?
I believe it was. Or it could have been a simulated game.
Yeah, something like that. And they've been out obviously for a while. TC's not supposed to be back till July, but Kelly's been out a lot longer than we expected as well. That's not helping the bullpen any.
Yeah, considering he was the designated eighth inning guy.
Yeah.
Adding him in would give you a lot more flexibility with Warren.
Yeah, definitely.
And Betances, yep. Really.
Yeah, he just like slot right now. They're operating sort of without that guy. I guess Warren technically the eighth inning guy, but they think they'd like to use him in a bit more flexible role. So right now, basically Kelly's spot is being taken up by like, Matt Daly, and that's not good.
Nope.
I guess Cervelli's throwing a little bit too, so he might come back sometime soon. I don't know if they should necessarily demote John Ryan Murphy when Cervelli is ready, though. I would almost be willing to try three catchers on the Major League roster if they don't want to get rid of Cervelli in some way.
Yeah, I don't think you want to send down John Ryan Murphy. I mean,
no.
If he's a possible trade chip, like he should be showcased on Major League level.
Yeah, it's not like he has anything to prove in AAA.
Yeah, and he's been playing well, yeah. And now he's like developing a rapport with the pitchers. I see no reason to send him down.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Cervelli can even fake it at third or second base, I think. So you can even keep him as a backup infielder if you want. Oh yeah, I think he.
Yeah, I was gonna say at first he played a couple of games before getting hurt.
Yep. I mean, chances are he's probably going to get hurt before his first month back is out,
yep.
Anyway. So
that's what Cervelli does.
Yep. So that's the Yankees right now. They are just very depressing.
Yeah.
Offense is just desperate for some sort of jolt. Looks like they might get something with Ellsbury's homer on Wednesday night, but after that, of course, the offense didn't score again.
Well, why would they?
Like, oh, four runs is fine with Vidal and Nuno.
Yeah.
Four runs with, you know, Jose Ramirez making his Major League debut, this will be fine.
The worst that could happen.
So, Yankees better hope that Beltran's healthy and that he can provide a boost to the lineup, because they're just ragging right now. Not really much else we can say.
Yeah.
So, I guess we can move on to the tweet bag, unless you guys have anything else.
That's good.
Okay. So, this is from Aaron Shelby Rose on Twitter. If Solarte keeps a 280 plus batting average and doesn't turn into an E machine at third, will we eat the A-Rod contract and turn him loose?
I don't know if that would be like totally dependent on Solarte. I think if they do eat it, it means A-Rod's done something else crazy and A-Rod-ish.
Yeah, I don't really think Solarte is necessarily like that. It's going to be a deciding factor in that, because they could always, if they are really feeling super confident in Solarte, then they could always shift him to second base, because that's a natural position anyway, if they wanted A-Rod back. I'm still of the belief that they might just buy him out at some point. I know it's a crap ton of money, but I don't think the Yankees want anything to do with him.
Yeah, they've been loving the fact that there's been no A-Rod publicity this year.
Yeah.
Because last year, that's all you heard about this time of the year.
Yeah, it's like, A-Rod is working his way back.
And it was like a huge distraction, and I think that the Yankees like how they're just focusing on how bad they are. I don't know. Yeah, but he may just be too big of a distraction. I don't know if they want to eat that much money, but I don't think Solarte is going to be what holds them back from making that decision.
Right. I've seen them do crazier things. I know it's a lot of money, but, you know, they really do not like A-Rod.
Nope.
I miss A-Rod, because he's crazy. But that's just me. I'll also note that even if A-Rod does come back, I don't trust him to stay on the field at all.
No.
Yeah, that's... No.
Okay. So, I mean, it's also hoping a lot from Solarte, but he's still hitting, apparently. We were saying, actually, when Matt F., when your internet was cutting in and out, I was saying, Matt P., that it's kind of funny how So Solarte is in this pattern where every time we think he's cooling off, he gets hot again. And then McCann's in this pattern where every time it seems like he's heating up, he gets cold again.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing.
I actually have the fan drafts page for the last 7 days open, and McCann is hitting far better than I thought he would have over the past 7 days.
What's he hitting?
.368, .455, .474.
Hmm. Well, yeah, he's improved because I think it was like a month ago he was like at 58 WRC plus, and now he's like up to like 86. So he's climbed.
He's definitely been better over the last little while.
I think what we've seen in the past month or so is what we're going to see in the future.
I think the reason why he's still, like, yet saw that crap is because it hasn't been, like, one big explosion where a massive jump. It's sort of been, like, incremental, it seems like.
Well, he's also walked a lot, too, which helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next question from Greg Kirkland. How would you improve the offense? Roids is an acceptable answer. And El Cruiser 55 added, I'm still on to the whole clone 2007 A-Rod plan.
That's an idea.
I'd be okay with that. Bring the roids on.
There's really no... I mean, the only way is the Yankees would have to make a trade.
Or sign Kendrys Morales, I guess.
Or sign Kendrys Morales, or just wait until they make a breakthrough, which I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you just got to keep playing who you have. They don't really have a great core right now. There's not really much relief coming from the minors. So.
Yeah, and we just gotta plug away.
But I still suggest the Yankees build an intricate system of tunnels and costume changes to have same people batting over and over again.
Like that. Just have a lineup with Ellsbury, Gardner, Teixeira, and Solarte.
Jacoby Ellsbury and Jacob Ellsbury.
I mean, it's not like the bench really has any players who it's like, oh, they got to be starting more. Because Kelly Johnson's not hitting, which is really frustrating. Yep. I don't think he should necessarily be cut like some people are advocating, but Kelly Johnson's not hitting. Soriano has practically played his way out of the starting lineup, striking out at everything. He'd probably strike out from 50 cents first pitch.
Well, did you see the video of Vlad hitting
it?
That's phenomenal.
Thank you, Internet. Next question from Yankee Raven. Despite his little setback, do you think Manny Banuela still has a chance to compete for a rotation spot in 2015, or will he end up in the bullpen?
I think he has a chance.
I think a lot of that...
Go ahead.
Well, I think a lot of that would depend on how the rest of this year goes. I mean, he's already been shut down, even if it was for a couple of days, once.
Yeah. And he's still recovering from Tommy John surgery, which is, as guys like Ryan Matson and Daniel Hudson would assure you, is no guarantee. So he's still got some work to do. I do like what the Yankees are doing, where they're using him in, like, short stints so that maybe he could possibly help give them some innings toward the end of the season if he manages to stay healthy. But, yeah, he's just got to prove that he's recovering. I think they might... I think that they'll probably, like, sign a free agent starter in the offseason or do something to boost the rotation with some possible departures. But I think that if Ben Willis stays healthy, he could probably bid for a rotation spot. I don't think they necessarily give up and pulled him in the bullpen yet.
No, it wasn't like Betances where like he just imploded in the rotation. It's just a matter of him building up his strength and confidence in a longer stint because he's just pitching two or three innings a game. I mean, even if he gets a September call-up, he'd probably work out of the bullpen just to get acclimated, and then he could compete in 2015. So that's definitely a legitimate chance that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Next question from John Beck, Jscape 2000. How much does that guy suck? Why'd he think today was an off day? I don't know. we're in the middle of a series against Oakland, so it'd be kind of funny if they're just like, oh yeah, let's call it quits for a day.
And the Yankees would say, thank you.
Yes, a game we can avoid without Tanaka pitching.
We can't lose if we're not playing.
That's the secret. It's an unbeatable strategy. Also, also unwinnable.
Yeah, but unlosable.
All right.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, but you also don't miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly. That's genius of a true philosopher.
That was my general basketball strategy.
My strategy was pass the ball to Tucker.
Hey, yep. Arnold.
All right. The last tweet bag question from Ryan Cancer. I'm interested in how Pineda and CeCe are doing, but more specifically, what can we expect from them down the stretch? Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I'm going to say nothing as a baseline. Yeah,
right now, my point is that my hope is that they're both healthy.
Yeah. CeCe, we are like banking on his, degenerative knee. Allowing him to come back and pitch in July, and I mean he was already kind of pitching poorly before then. Maybe they hope that he gets a second wind or something, but hell if I know how he pitches. And Pineda looked great in his few starts, but you know he had a setback. He's not going to be back until early July at the earliest, so. And even then, again, he only pitched a few starts, so is that the real Pineda? He's going to be treated very carefully when he comes back again, so maybe he'll only be going like 5 or 6 innings if he's effective, so. Ugh.
Yep.
And that slider looks so good, but, man.
Yeah, it's hard to come back from shoulder surgery.
Sure makes his, grand plans people had for like the 2015-16 rotation with Pineda after his first few starts in April kind of premature, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, there's always Zach Newton. And by that I mean please do not have Zach Newton start a game for the Yankees.
But then we might get Girardi calling him Newty.
He'd probably just call him, like, Zachy.
Z.
Yeah. Z, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, so that'll do it for the tweet bag. So we're just going to do the Yankee and the Mitra of the Week to finish up. All right, Matt F., your Yankee of the Week.
Andrew Solarte. Because he's hitting again.
Yeah. He goes through his little phases.
He did really well.
Matt P., your Yankee of the Week.
Mine is Jacoby Ellsbury. Because he's also hitting again. And playing amazing defense.
He does that.
And hitting yep. a dinger.
That was so exciting. That is like, oh. Yes, runs. They're actually doing it, and then they're just like, nah, we're good now.
It was especially great, because there was multiple runs. It wasn't like the two they've been scoring in the last couple of games. It was 3 all at once.
Mm.
Those things happened.
I just realized the Yankees have now fallen to exactly 500.
That's right.
Yep.
But on the plus side, they do have my Yankee of the Week pitching tomorrow. My Yankee of the Week is Masahiro Tanaka, because of course it is.
Yep.
He wins pretty much every week. I mean, one of the benefits to being a starter is that you only have the one start to really be considered for Yankee and Mitra of the Week, and Tanaka keeps pitching well. And he was part of the only win since our last podcast. He went 8 innings. He allowed... 4 hits, two walks and one unearned run.
Unearned.
Yeah, unearned run.
And struck out 9. Because that's just what he does.
Just a normal Saturday.
And he also won the AL Pitcher of the Month in May. And when asked for comments on the award, he said that he felt he had not yet been successful as a Yankee. Which is...
He's the best.
He really is. He's just like, I don't care. He's like, I've lost a game. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, he's accumulated almost 2.5 war in 78 innings. And he's like, no, I need more.
Isn't Dellen like second on the team in war for pitchers?
Yeah, 1.4.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. All right. Mitre of the week, Matt F.
Well, he's gone now, but Alfredo Aceves.
Very deserved.
Yep. Bye. He won't be missed, Alfredo.
Yes, the Alfredo Aceves reboot experience was fun for exactly one game when he relieved CC.
Yep.
And then after that, he was just dreadful. Gave up like 6 homers, I believe, in 19 and a third innings. A 6.52 ERA, a 6.22 FIP, and he was... They were talking about how you could really see how the Yankees were just getting pissed off at him. Like, McCann wasn't even giving him signals the other day. And then, like, he gave up the home run to Seattle in the 9th inning, and then he started throwing in on Mike Zunino, and Larry Rothschild went out to the mound. Then he stopped throwing inside, so maybe like they're like stop throwing at people.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah,
he's basically like Mitre.
Yeah.
Yep.
Except it's like more disappointing because at least Aceves used to be good, and then, it was good to see Aceves go since he just wasn't pitching well. But LeBlanc is not the answer. Sorry.
Nope.
Matt P., your Mitre of the week.
Mine is Nuno.
Yeah.
Because he is the most replacement-level pitcher I've ever seen.
People that don't really understand war talk about, like, replacement level, it doesn't mean a league average pitcher. It means a pitcher like Vidal Nuno.
Yeah, basically. Like, you just look at him and be like, nope, you're going to lose. Like, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah, that's why I was so surprised when the Yankees were, like, winning for a while and Nuno was okay. And then, you know, he just Nuno'd it.
Like, you're going to pitch 5 innings and allow 3 runs.
On a good day.
Yeah.
Ugh. And he's proving that he is not well-suited for Yankee Stadium at all.
Nope.
He pitches a little bit better on the road, but, you know, at Yankee Stadium, he catches Hughes syndrome and dingers out, dingers there. That bomb that Cespedes hit off him was just ridiculous. Didn't even look like Cespedes got all of it and just went way out the center field.
Yep, he's pretty bad.
Yep, he bad. All right, give me a moment. I'm going to find my Mitre of the week. Oh, why am I even thinking? My Mitre of the week is Alfonso Soriano because he's ugh.
Yeah.
He's struck out in 2/3 of the plate appearances he's seen in the last week. That is dedication. And now, like, he's not even hitting lefties. I mean, Scott Kazmir is not amazing. He's good, but, you know, he's a lefty, and Soriano should be hitting him, but he went 0-3 with 3 strikeouts. And it's just incredibly disappointing because he's, you know, we're talking about how the Yankees are lacking power. He's a guy that if he's on a hot streak, he could give you power, but he's just dreadful right now.
Yep.
Mm.
So it's funny because there was that stretch where he hit like a couple home runs in a couple games, and it's like, oh, here it comes. Then since then, nope.
Yeah. Well, it's just like typical Soriano. I think like his homers came around like the same time, and then he's like, "All right, now to take And now to take the month off. Do you know, the last time he got a hit was on May 25th.
Oh my god.
It's horrible.
Yeah, since then he has gone 0-4-15 with 8 strikeouts.
Who was that against?
That was against the White Sox in the last game of their series.
Oh, that's right. Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, since then he's gone 0-15 with 8 strikeouts and 1 walk, which was intentional. Thanks, Ron Gardenhire. They walk Soriano with Yandervis Solarte coming up. Bold.
Well, that did wind up sort of working, because I think Yankees only got 1 run out of that.
Yeah, maybe. I guess it's just the principle of it.
Still. Yeah, you probably could have gotten 0 if you didn't do that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at it now, and it looks like... So, Soriano from April 8th... From April 8th until April 17th, he hit 4 homers in 9 games, and at all the other games,
yep,
he only hit 2.
That's right.
Yep.
Which, again, is about right. I guess, I mean, at this point, Yankees have to just hope that he can find his groove against lefties, and, I mean, I hate to say it, but if he continues to not find his groove, I wonder if you even keep him.
Yeah, it might be worth the cut him if he's that bad.
Yeah, it's not like they're owing him a ton of money, because the Cubs are still picking up a big chunk of the contract.
Right.
No, they're paying him part of it.
Yeah, it's sunk cost anyway.
Exactly. You've already paid for it, so it's just like if he's not helping the team, then whatever. I still like Soriano. I think he could turn it around, but we'll have to see. I don't think that they actually would anyway, because they like him a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do either of you guys have anything else to add?
No. Just the Yankees are playing bad.
Well, have you guys seen that there is apparently someone who may get drafted this week named Handsome Monica?
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, that's pretty excellent. Or they might draft Joey Pancake or something like that.
They at least need to get one of those two if you're missing out on Sicknarf loop stuff.
Sicknarf is quite the name. There's one guy on Twitter who just like really hates Joey Pancake for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't like the team he plays on, but...
Who does he play for?
South Carolina.
Ah, I'll do it. Maybe that's why.
I can't go wrong with pancakes.
Exactly.
That's the best thing for clubhouse chemistry.
I mean, he sounds like a henchman in a gangster movie.
Hey, do a pancake. He's gonna rough you up a little bit. That's what I'm saying.
Well, there's the one pitcher, I believe, who's drafted relatively high. What's his name? Tukey
Dasan.
Yeah, him.
Nice.
That's pretty solid.
Kref Renfrock? Or Kref Renfrock?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Dylan Cease? Cy Sneed? Alex Pantojas? Which sounds like Pantalones. Justice Sheffield? I think that might be Gary Sheffield's nephew, or something like that. I don't think I'm making that up. I don't know. Well, either way, Yankees will be adding some more players to their system after this weekend, the MLB draft. I mean, they have their top pick is their second round pick, so it's not going to be anything super splashy or fun like it was last year with Jagielo, Judge, and Clark, and I'll take him within the first 32 picks, but it should still be an interesting prospect to keep track of anyway, and maybe with some luck, he'll turn out to be someone that really pays off somewhere down the line. I mean, the Cardinals have shown long enough that if you're smart enough about drafting, it doesn't matter where you're picking, because they've they've been winning a lot of games, so they're not typically picking high in the draft. They're just picking the right players.
Yeah. Especially in the second round and on, generally teams just guess. So, in theory, the talent is all there. It's just a matter of finding it, of course.
Right. Okay, well, I think that'll about wrap it up for the Pinstripe Alley podcast this week. Hopefully next week we'll be able to give a cheerier edition, and, you know, maybe Kendra Morales will be on the team, maybe Carlos Beltran will be healthy, maybe Mark Teixeira will be definitely healthy with his wrist, but that seems all up in the air. So we'll just have to cross our fingers, hope for the best. Maybe the Yankees will decide to score some runs. It's typically a winning strategy, but what do I know? I'm crazy. So you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley and follow the GIF account at PSA_GIFs. You can follow me on Twitter at Merns_. You can follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. You can follow Matt F on Twitter at MattF15. You can follow Matt P on Twitter at MPro6294. And you can like us on Facebook. And please rate and review us on iTunes. It's always good to get some feedback and always good to get some boosts in iTunes ratings land, since they have some weird system to determine podcast ratings and relevance and who gets notoriety, basically. So, anything else, Matt P. and Matt F.?
That's it.
Nope.
All right. Go Yankees, go baseball. Have a good night.